Now, you are well aware that one of the things that Teresa and I have enjoyed doing over the past 10 or 12 years is going to a camp in Indiana and acting as counselors. Well, there in this camp, there are kids from 12 to 18 or 19 years old. And Thursday, we do what's called the obstacle course. And really, one of the main goals of the obstacle course is to get the kids absolutely as muddy as possible. And so, 1 year after the obstacle course, we had common showers. And so, all of the men and boys are muddy head to toe in the shower house, waiting for other guys to get out of the shower so you can take their place. And this young man, about 12 years old, he walks out of the shower. He is clean as a whistle from his neck down. From his head up, it looked like one big dirt clod. And when he walked out, I, being me, was already had a snappy remark that I was going to make to him and tease him. You know how hard that is for me to do that kind of thing. But, well, before I could get a word out, an older boy, an 18-year-old boy, reaches around me, pushes me out of the way, and says, "Hey, buddy, you got a little mud on you still. You need to go back in the shower." And you know what I thought to myself at that moment? I need more compassion. That's what I thought. I thought, here I am about to make this 12 or 13-year-old boy feel like a doofus. And my friend Kyle, much younger than me, says exactly the right thing. I'm not much better today. I know I need to be more compassionate. I see it on my family's face sometimes. I see it on my friend's face sometimes. And I know this is something I need to get better at. I think we as men, we're not built to be as compassionate as we're supposed to be. But it's something we have to learn. But you know something else I've learned in my observation and also listening is that sometimes women ain't as compassionate as they should be either. We often have that impression, you know, of moms just being so compassionate. And as a mom, they are compassionate. But sometimes as a sister, a co-worker, there's not that much compassion among women, is there? Compassion isn't as easy to give as some might think. And yet when Peter wrote his epistle and he said, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, you keep going down that list and guess what one of the things is? Kindness. Paul, when he told us to put on the new man in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, one of the things he says is put on tender mercies. The greatest man who ever lived, the best man who ever lived, the ideal man was the most compassionate person this planet has ever seen. And if we as Christians are going to wear His name, then we have to learn to develop that compassion that He had. Maybe I should say that He has. Because He's still demonstrating that same compassion to somebody so undeserving as me. So what I want to do this evening is I want to help us to broaden our horizons. I want us to think about compassion tonight and to think about how we are to give it. Because sometimes our compassion is very narrowly directed. You know, like I said, a mom can certainly be compassionate to her children, but is she compassionate at the workplace? Is she compassionate with her sisters? We're often willing to be compassionate with people that we love the most or who we think need it the most. But there are a lot of people in this world who need our compassion. And what I want to do is I want to show you two things. I want to show you when Jesus was compassionate so that we can learn from Him. And I want you to see what He did to demonstrate compassion. The first thing that I want us to consider is Jesus showed compassion when others would have only thought about themselves. If you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, at the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends the disciples out on a commission. He sends the 12 apostles out. This is when he tells them to go and preach two by two. Well, we find out in verse 30 that they come back to Jesus, and then Jesus has a plan for them. So Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while.' For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But when the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities, they arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." And the next verse says, "When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'Send them away.'" I want you to think about this. In the middle there of Mark chapter 16 down to verse, Mark 4, 6, 14 down to verse 29, we find out that John the Baptist has been beheaded. Jesus knows what that means. Jesus understands where that's leading. So he's got that on his mind. And now his disciples are coming back, and he just wants to take some time to debrief them, to find out how things went with them, offer encouragement to them, and let's face it, to get away from the hubbub a little bit. I mean, they are so busy, they can't even find time to eat. So Jesus says, "Well, let's go someplace where nobody's at, and then we can rest there a while." Goes all the way across the Sea of Galilee, gets out of that boat, and what does he see? A crowd of people waiting for him. Now, if that's me, if I'm Jesus, I'm going to go, "Y'all are back in Capernaum." I'm going to zap them back to Capernaum so that I can spend some time with my disciples, because that's what I want to do. That's a good thing to do, but not Jesus. He taught them. And he didn't just come out and offer some pat statements and then move on. The idea is he spent all day long teaching those people. He was moved by compassion. You know, we are sometimes just way too self-indulgent. Maybe there's something good going on that we can be a part of, and we just say, "Oh, you know what? It has been a crazy day today. I'm just going to stay home and rest a while." Or you think to yourself, "Man, if I'm confronted with just one more problem, with just one more issue, my head is going to explode." And that's even when people need our compassion. Jesus wasn't thinking about himself here. He was thinking about others. And even though he was tired, even though he was weary and hungry, he took care of those people first and foremost. Jesus also showed compassion when others would have avoided the very one who needs the compassion. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Do you know what the life of a leper was like back in this time? They were the outcast of the outcast. They, by law, had to go around everywhere they went. First of all, they were not allowed inside the city, so they're only outside cities. But everywhere they went outside that city, they had to say this if they came in contact with another person. Unclean. Unclean. That was an announcement everybody could get away from me. Don't touch me. I'm unclean. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being that person? You know, you've got this disease that puts ugly, nasty, open sores on you, and you stink, and stuff oozes out of your sores. I mean, you've got that going on, and then everybody avoids you. We say like they had the plague. This man comes to Jesus, and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You know, Jesus could have said, you're clean. And he'd been clean and not touched him. But that's not what Jesus did. Moved with compassion, he reached out and he touched the man. You know, there are times I'm sitting in a chair, sitting on a couch, and Teresa would just walk past me and just put her hand on my shoulder as she's walking past and keep going. I love that. You're right, Brother Sharp. Who doesn't? That's what Jesus did for this man. He gave him that human touch when other people would think, ew. When you think about the people who need your assistance, who do you think about? So many times we're only willing to reach out and help those who kind of look like us and kind of look like and act like us and live like us. Instead of reaching out to the truly destitute. I mean, who needed compassion more than this leper? And that there are people in our own community who need our compassion. And again, certainly we've got to be careful about those kind of things. But you know, the next time somebody comes up to you or you see somebody who's obviously a homeless person on the side of the street, instead of walking around them, why don't you just ask them this simple question? Can I buy you something to eat? You know, I'm not one to pull out money and hand them money because I did that one time and then watched the guy walk right across the street to the liquor store and buy himself a bottle of booze. But maybe we could say, can I give you something to eat? Just to be compassion. How great was it for Jesus to look at this man made in the image of God and say, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus was also compassionate when others were ready to condemn. I love the story that's told in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 26. And this man, Simon, doesn't do a very good job of holding up our namesake, but he shows he becomes a good example for us. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair on her head, of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, if this man, if he knew, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And so he said, teacher, say it. There were certain creditors who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay with, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and says, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and to Simon and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water to wash my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go and in peace. Isn't that amazing? You think Jesus knew who this woman was when she walked in?
Let me tell you something. Jesus knew who she was better than Simon knew.
Simon recognized her as a sinner, and Jesus could enumerate the sins because he knew the hearts of men and women. So when this woman came in, what did Jesus see? Somebody who needed compassion. You know what Simon saw? A filthy sinner who should be condemned. That's all he saw. He put a label on her. You know, the implication is that maybe she was an adulteress. It doesn't actually spell that out, but that's kind of the implication. But regardless of what her sin was, it was heinous in the eyes of Simon. He was a man who had a beam in his eye, didn't he? Jesus saw the repentance. He saw the acknowledgement of her need for forgiveness. And in the end, she comes out looking a whole lot better than Simon. Brethren, why are some of us so ready to condemn others? Does it make us feel better about ourselves? You know, if I can stand up here and call somebody else a filthy sinner, all of a sudden I feel better about me now? Does it make me feel more righteous? That's Simon's problem, isn't it? If he knew who was touching him, he would never allow this because I never would allow this. That's his attitude. I'm too good. To make us feel cleaner somehow? Oh, I'm a much better person than you because you are a filthy sinner and I am not. You know what it really does? It really shows how self-righteous, unloving, and uncaring we really are. Was Simon any less a sinner than this woman? Absolutely not. Jesus was once questioned by the Pharisees, why do you spend so much time with the sinners of the world? And he responded by saying, because they need a physician. And I'm going to go where they are. I have come in this world to seek and to save the lost, or to seek the lost, to call the sinners to repentance, and so that's what I'm going to do. You know, sin needs to be opposed, but we need to be careful about judging sinners. Our job is not to condemn sinners. Our job is to oppose sin, but not to condemn sinners. Ours is to teach with meekness and in fear so that the condemned sinner, who's already condemned by his own life, can be saved. Look what Paul told the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've told Teresa before, one of the worst things about PowerPoint is if you accidentally skip a point and it flashes up on the screen, then everybody knows you skipped a point, so you got to go back and cover it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. He says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, if you want a sinner to stay lost, then you judge them. You condemn them. Because if that's the attitude that you give them, they're not going to listen to anything else you have to say. But know this, God will hold you accountable. But if you want them to be saved, then try to be compassionate. I mean, how would you like it tomorrow if you go to the if you went to the doctor because you did something to yourself, you know, and you're hurt bad, and the doctor just looks at you and says, well, that was a dumb thing to do, and since you did that, so you were so dumb to do that, I'm not going to help you forget it, you know? Oh, yeah, that's fatal. I could fix it, but no, you did it to yourself. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to die. Yeah, that's what you want to hear from the doctor, isn't it? Well, that's what the lost souls of the world hear from us when we act self-righteously instead of out of compassion. Again, people need to know what sin is. They need to be able to identify the sin in their own life. But we should never take pleasure in condemning somebody. Our job is to spread the gospel. Our job is to show them the compassionate Savior that they have. One other thing I want to point out about Jesus is that Jesus, and this is good, Jesus could show compassion when nobody else could. Jesus could show compassion when regular people can't offer a thing. Look at the story in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 11. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11, it says, "Now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' But he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people.'" Jesus sees this funeral procession coming out of the city. They're going to put the body into the tomb. And Jesus walks up to this woman, and the first thing he says to her is, "Don't cry." You know, I've visited a lot of people at funeral homes. And I've never looked somebody in the face who was suffering the loss of a loved one and said, "Don't cry." Jesus did. Because this woman didn't need to cry. Because he's fixing to do something for her that nobody else could do. And he walked over there and he touched that coffin and he said, "Young man, arise." And the man rose up. And Jesus presented him back to his father. I mean, back to his mother. He's the only one who could do something like that. And so he's the only one who could look at her and say, "Don't cry." Because there was reason for her not to cry. When I think about that, I think about all that Jesus can do for you and me that nobody else can do. And because he's compassionate, he does it. He gives us the forgiveness of sins. When he turned and looked at that woman who was washing his feet, he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." When the man who was let down through the roof came to eye level, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He gives us life abundantly. And only he can. He gives us access to God the Father. And only he can. He gives us the hope of eternal life, and only he can. And all of this is because he's compassionate. You know, in a very real sense, Jesus has the ability to show more compassion than anybody else can ever show. But you know what the
the step for us is. Jesus heals a demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5. And he's the one who couldn't be bound by chains. And he's the one that, when Jesus says, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion, for we're many." And Jesus healed him. And then you remember when Jesus was going to leave that area, that man wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus says, "No, I want you to go back home." And this is what he tells the man to do. Go back home and tell everybody how I have had compassion on you. Do you know that when Peter says, be ready to give a defense, an answer for the faith that is in you, that that's all he's asking you to do? Is share with others the compassion that Jesus has had on you. Listen, there are people in this world walking around with problems that they can't solve. But Jesus, in His compassion, has really already taken care of it if they would just acknowledge Him and come to Him and obey His will. So, while we can't give them the compassion that Jesus gives them, we can bring them to Jesus so they can get the compassion only He can offer. And one of the best things for us to do is to be compassionate people so that they can see that, so that they can see Christ living in us, and so they can ask us. And then we can tell them. Well, the other thing I want to show you is what did Jesus do? How did He show compassion? And I think that the first thing that I would point out is He gave people what they needed. If you go back there to Mark chapter 6, where Jesus had brought His disciples to the other side of the sea, and they're there, this deserted place, and He taught them. Did you see that? Remember, we talked about first things first this morning. The very first thing that He did was He spent all day long talking to them, teaching them. And then when the day was far spent, His compassion didn't stop. Now He has compassion because He knows He needs to take care of their physical needs. And so He tells the disciples, He said, "Feed them." And you remember the story? Well, we don't have enough food to feed them. But Jesus created food out of a little bit so that everybody could be fed. Do you know that even more than filling their bellies, that He gave them something else when He fed them? He showed them who He really was. So again, even in that spirit, even in that physical instance, He's given them something deeper, something more spiritual. So He's backing up all that He taught. Let me remind you that that's the same kind of compassion that He extends to you. He gives you what you need. And we need to think about that. What's the thing that the world needs most? Well, you could say love, and I'd be happy with that. You could say forgiveness, I'd be real happy about that. You could say hope, I'd be happy about that too. Where do they get all those things? There's only one place. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what people need to hear from us. That's why we have a mission to teach the lost. And let me tell you something. That compassion, you're going to be able to show that to your coworkers a whole lot better than anybody else. You know, if I showed up at your workplace tomorrow morning with you to try to teach somebody in your workplace, I'm not going to have a lot of impact. I'm not. But you, by being compassionate, by being there and teaching, will be able to do a whole lot more good. The other thing I want you to see is that when Jesus took compassion, it was an action. He did something for them. You know, sometimes we confuse compassion and sympathy. See, sometimes I look at some terrible situation and my emotions are invoked and I think, oh, I feel so compassionate for those people. No, you don't. I feel sympathy for them. See, sympathy is the feeling. Compassion is an action. And you can't have compassion unless you do something for somebody. You know, you can look at somebody and say, oh, my heart just goes out to you. But that's not compassion. See, compassion moves you to take that next step and do what needs to be done.
Jesus didn't just look at that man and said who needed to be healed of his leprosy and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry for you. God bless you. Be warm and be filled and walk away." He did something.
That's what we need to do. What profit is there in sympathy alone? Look at what James says. Now, I know that James is talking about faith here, but I want you to notice what he says and tell me that this doesn't apply to us being compassionate. James chapter 2 and in verse 14, James says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have work? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" Now, again, what James is doing is he's using an illustration to make the bigger point. But at the same time, the illustration is still valid. We're not being compassionate if we look at somebody and say, "Oh, I wish there was something I could do to help you." We have to move past that. That's not real love. Look at what John says in John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 17 it says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us love in word, or let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We've got to show people we love them. We've got to show them in our compassion directed towards them. And again, first and foremost, we have to show compassion when it comes to the spiritual condition of others. We've got to seek to improve their condition spiritually. And again, don't get me wrong, we still have to be concerned about the physical needs of others as well. You know, I think sometimes what we do, what we have done in the church, is because we understand that the church has a very limited window of who they can be benevolent to. We can only show benevolence to the saints who are in need. Then we kind of have that mindset. I'm only going to help the saints who are in need. But as an individual, that's not a limitation that's placed on me. I am supposed to love my neighbor as myself, if he's a Christian or if he's not a Christian. And again, if I'm going to love in deed and in truth, that means when I see my neighbor in need, I'm going to take care of them. As individuals, we have a much greater responsibility to show compassion, to show benevolence to other people. Quit acting like a church and act like a person. Act like a Christian. And show some compassion to the people around you who need it. Compassion is something that is shown. Several of the passages we read, it said Jesus moved with compassion. It's an action. It's not something we just feel inside. Again, my whole purpose in preaching this lesson tonight is because the bulk of us who gather together on Sunday night are people who are Christians who are truly concerned about being the best Christians that we can be. If you didn't feel that way, you wouldn't be here tonight. And I think we all know when we look at our life, when we look at our actions, we all know that we've got to be a little bit more compassionate. And we have a great example in Jesus Christ. He helped the people who needed His help. He helped the people He could help by giving them what they need and by actually taking action on their behalf. We look at His life, we admire it, and then we hold ourselves up next to Him and we gain a great appreciation of how deficient we are. Again, it's my hope that this lesson will do two things for you. I want you, first of all,
to develop a deeper love for Jesus, seeing how compassionate He is and realize how compassionate He's been to you.
And then I want us all to take that understanding, that new appreciation for Jesus, and now put it into action.
Show others Christ living in you
by showing the compassion that He has.
The most important person Jesus ever showed compassion to in my life is me. The most important person Jesus ever showed compassion to in your life is you. Aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to come to this world and give you what you needed? Aren't you glad that He was willing to act on your behalf? I mean, because of His compassion, you and I can have the forgiveness of sins today, right now. Because of His compassion, you and I can be called children of God. John says, "Oh, what manner of love was bestowed upon us that we can be called the children of God." Because He was compassionate, because He acted on your behalf and on my behalf, we can go to heaven when this life is over. That's the Savior that you serve. That's the example that we need to emulate. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I want you to take advantage of the compassion that Jesus has shown to you. Come to Jesus, believing that He is the Christ, being willing to repent of your sin, turn your back on the way that you live, and make the decision you're going to live for Jesus from now on. Be willing to confess Him as your Lord, as your King, as the Son of God. Be buried with Him in baptism so that every sin you've ever committed can be washed away, so that He can demonstrate the ultimate compassion to you. And then live your life trying to follow His example. And if you've done those things, but you know you're not living as you ought, change. And if you need our help, we stand willing and ready to help you. If you need to be baptized or if you want the prayers of the saints, please come right now as we stand and sing the invitation song.